All right, let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 11. And I've enjoyed this, going back and refreshing my memory about these things, about the kings. It's always good to go back and think about what you've read so many times and to tie things together, and it's been a blessing. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about King Jeroboam, and the title is Jeroboam, an Evil Influencer. That word influencer, that's a word that has emerged recently because of the world of social media. We come to know these people who are the new heroes for people today. They are called influencers. I think at one time they were YouTube influencers, but now there's influencers all over every social media platform, and that's what they do. They use their social media platform to influence others. They might influence things like product choices or life choices, and sometimes they even influence others to hurt themselves. But being an influencer is not a new phenomenon. People have always been influencers. What is new is the opportunity to influence and the reach of someone's influence. It used to be that you could really only influence those in your circle of life, but now, because of social media, the impact of an influencer can be felt around the world. What we know as we go through this history of the kings, we know that David was an influencer. Because when we think about the good kings that Jerry's going to preach about, it says they walked in the footsteps of David, their father. So David was an influencer, and he walked in the ways that pleased God, and those who are pleasing to God later walked in the footsteps of David, the good kings. Likewise, Jeroboam is an influencer. However, the influence of Jeroboam was not a positive influence. The phrase that you will see throughout the history of Israel is they followed the sins of Jeroboam. The sins of Jeroboam had a large influence on the future of the northern kingdom, Israel. Jeroboam influenced Israel to walk an evil path. Remember, Judah, the southern kingdom, the only good kings came from Judah. When you're thinking about Israel, there were no good kings in Israel. So here we are, 1 Kings 11, verse number 26, it says, "And Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king." And so we've talked about Jeroboam as we have gone through, talked about the end of Solomon's life, and as we talked about Rehoboam, we've talked about Jeroboam. So it shouldn't be any surprise to you what we're going to talk about Jeroboam. And it says it in our text that he lifted up his hand against the king. And of course, that's Solomon. And because of that, he sought exile in Egypt. It tells you in verse number 40 that Jeroboam fled to Egypt and he returned after Solomon's death. He took the complaints of Israel to Rehoboam. And he was also told by a prophet that he would be king. That's in verse number 33 that you find that Jeroboam was told that he is going to be a king. And it's all because of Solomon's sin. That's why he is going to be king. And Rehoboam in verse 38, I want you to read this. "And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and commandments as David, my servant, did, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee." So Jeroboam was given a promise, sort of like David was given in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. In verse number 8 it says, Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as aforetime. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of the bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. So you see, it's not exactly the same, but it's a promise from God that I will be with thee and your kingdom. I will protect it as long as you walk with me. So that was just a review of Jeroboam. We've already talked about all those things. None of those things should be new to you. But what do we find out about Rehoboam? We know that Jeroboam. We know that Jeroboam departs from the Word of God. In 1 Kings, chapter number 12 and verse number 20, what does it tell us about Jeroboam? And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. So here you see the division of the kingdom, right? You have the 10 tribes that go to the north with Jeroboam. They're what's known as Israel from this point on. You have the tribe of Judah and Benjamin that go, or the tribe of Judah that go with David, and it's the southern kingdom. It's Judah, what's now known as Judah. So we know that he's made king. We know in verse 25 that he builds a couple of cities by the name of Shechem and Penuel. Shechem becomes his capital city. But here's the big thing that he does, verse 26 of 1 Kings 12. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return unto the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord and unto Rehoboam the king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two gold, calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And we've already discussed that too. So this again is nothing new, or shouldn't be any new information that we haven't discussed recently. But we know that he sets up these golden calves. You think about it. He says, if the people start going down to Jerusalem, then they'll turn back to Rehoboam. So to keep them from going down to Jerusalem to worship, I'll just make these golden calves, and I'll set one in Bethel, and I'll set one in Dan. And the people can go to them and worship those things. And I'll tell them, look, these are your gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. That should bring your minds to something too. Remember, it should bring your minds to Aaron, right? At the foot of Mount Sinai. That's exactly what Aaron did when he made the golden calf for the people to worship when Moses lingered. But his evil influences, notice what it says in verse number 30. And this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. So Jeroboam is influencing the nation of Israel. Think about it. He has this opportunity to influence them for good. If he follows what God has said, God said, your kingdom, you know, I'm always going to be with your kingdom. But now, instead of having a positive influence on them and leading them in the ways of God and leading them to worship God, he leads them into idolatry. and it becomes sin to them. Jeroboam, and he doesn't, it does, he doesn't turn from his sin. Look at chapter number 13. He continues on in his sin, and he doesn't turn from his sin. And verse number 1 says, "Now behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of God, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." So a prophet comes to Jeroboam. The prophet, though, is from Judah. And I want you to notice that Jeroboam here is standing by the altar to burn incense. It's not just that he made these golden calves and said, "Those are your gods." He's leading them into worship. And this is no little thing that Jeroboam does. And the prophet comes and says, "And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." Jerry will talk about Josiah later on. But this is the prophecy concerning Josiah, a king that is to come. Now, this is about 80 years. This happens, 1 Kings 13:1 happens about 975 B.C. Josiah becomes king about 698, roughly 80 years that this prophecy was given before it happens. Think about it. Before Josiah was born, the prophet of God tells Jeroboam that there's going to come a king, and he's going to come from Judah, and he's going to break down these altars. So it's prophecy. And that may seem like a little thing to you, but prophecies have always been important to me. Prophecies have always built my faith. Prophecies that are fulfilled are always one of the things that have convinced me in the inerrancy of the Word of God. There's no mistakes. And one of the ways that we know is that this prophecy is given, and then the prophecy is fulfilled. It helps me to know that God is the author of His Word, and His Word is inerrant. It has always built my faith. And so that's why I want to take the time here to stop and look at this prophecy, because it is a faith builder. What God says in His Word is going to be accomplished. And so you can be encouraged to always follow the Word of God. If God says it in His Word, we can believe it. I mean, even as we look forward to the future, what's going to happen? What the Word of God says is going to happen. How's it going to happen? Exactly like the Word of God says is going to happen. You don't have to be afraid of what's in the future. Just believe the Word of God, and it's going to happen exactly like God said. So anyway, what happens when this prophet comes and gives this prophecy? Verse number 4. "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him, and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again unto him." So that prophecy angers Jeremiah, and he says, "Get that prophet! I don't want him coming in here spewing all that. Get him! Get rid of him!" Notice again the evil influence that Jeroboam has on the people. What's he doing? He's leading the people against the man of God. Again, that may seem like a little thing, but this is the man of God. This is a prophet of God, and Jeroboam is attacking the prophet of God. And so what happens? The hand that he put forth to take a hold of Jeroboam, it withers. And the altar, it says, was rent in verse number 5. So what does Jeroboam do? Verse 6, "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored unto me again." So what's he do? Here is the opportunity for Jeroboam to influence the people for God. God is reminding Jeroboam, Jeroboam, I made you king. I'm sovereign. I'm the God of, I am God. And I can make your hand wither, Jeroboam. I can wipe you out just like that. Jeroboam could have said, folks, we've got these golden calves and these altars. I've sinned in doing so. We need to crush these golden calves. We need to turn away from these altars. And we need to turn our hearts back to God. And you guys need to go down to Jerusalem and worship God. That was what Jeroboam could have done. He could have influenced the people for good. It's obvious. Jeroboam knows that Jehovah is God. He just refuses to follow him. That's pretty serious. I'll have this thought somewhere else too, but do you guys know someone like that? They believe in God, but they refuse to follow him? Oh, I believe there's a God. But they refuse to follow him? There are a lot of people in this world who have the faith of Jeroboam. They want to follow their own way, do their own thing, even having the knowledge of who God is, but they refuse to follow him. What's that do for Jeroboam? Well, so the man of God prays for him, and it tells you in verse number 6 that the hand of Jeroboam was restored unto him again, and it became as before. But what effect did that have on Jeroboam? Look at verse 33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would be consecrated, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. Jeroboam did not cease from his evil. His actions are sinful. His actions affect his own house. We're going to see that his people turn away. His own sons are not going to follow him. It affects the entire nation of Israel. The influence of Jeroboam influenced others to evil. We need to understand our influence. We influence the lives of others. I'm not telling you you ought to try to be a positive influence. First thing I want you to see is that your life influences others. You know, all you got to do is watch a little child and listen to them talk, and you'll see they're being influenced. They say the words that they hear, right? They do the things they hear others do. They are little imitators. Our lives influence others. That's why we ought to be a positive influence. We must do everything we can to live close to the Lord so that we might have a positive influence. As a matter of fact, we were talking about it in men's Sunday school class today. And Jerry was talking about some of his family. And I was talking, and what I told him was, I said, Jerry, just understand that your life is influencing them. And I said, here's how you know. When they get in trouble, who do they call? They call me. They want prayer. You know. So even though they may not follow you, maybe they may not adhere to what you're doing, maybe they may never come to follow Jesus. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Your following Jesus influences them. It makes an impact in your life. You're teaching them things that they will never forget. So just understand how important it is that you are influencing others. And so take every opportunity you have to influence them for God. Jeroboam's son falls sick. 1 Kings 14:1. See, it's going to affect his family. His sin is going to affect the family. And his son, 14:1 says, at that time Abijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick. Jeroboam sends his wife to Abijah, who was the prophet that came to Jeroboam, sends him down to Judah. And there's a whole thing here about God coming to Abijah and saying, listen, Jeroboam's wife's going to come to you, and she's going to act like she's somebody else, but here's what I want you to tell him. The interesting thing I thought about as I was studying this, Jeroboam's got this problem. And what does he do? He sends his wife to Judah. Why didn't he call one of his priests? Why didn't he call one of the priests of the golden calves? Here's why. Because he knew it was useless. Because he knows the golden calves cannot do anything for him. And so he sends his wife down to Abijah, where he knows the man of God dwells. That says something, doesn't it? He knows that the religion that he has set up is a false religion. And again, how many people know in their heart that God is real and that God is true, but they refuse to be dedicated to him? That was Jeroboam. Jeroboam sends for the real prophet. Now, Jeroboam's not going to like what he hears. Verse number 7, it says, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I have exalted thee among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David. Notice what we said earlier. God said, if you do like David, these are the blessings you're going to receive. Now God is saying, you haven't been like David. You haven't been faithful to me. You haven't been faithful to my word, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in his eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung till it be gone. Jeroboam has sinned. He's sinned more than anyone else. He set up false gods. He has caused evil influence to come upon others. God's going to bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. Israel will be scattered, it says in verse number 15, for the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed shaken in water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers and scattered them beyond the river because they made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. That river there is the river Euphrates. This is talking about the Assyrian exile. That all is fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 16, or verse number 6. And notice it says that he made all Israel to sin. Verse 16. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. Jeroboam is an evil influencer. And as we read a couple of times, the sin of Israel provoked the Lord to anger. He could have led Israel to truth, and he influenced them to anger. What happens? And the rest of Acts, this is verse number 19, and the rest of Acts of Jeroboam, how he warned and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days of Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his father, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. You read other places, the second chronicles. Anyway, Jeroboam and Rehoboam have wore their entire lives. As a matter of fact, turn over to 2 Kings 3:3. This is what I was alluding to earlier. Was the sins of Jeroboam only, did they only affect his life? Or did they affect others also? 2 Kings 3:3. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which Aden made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. Jehoram, a king later on, what's he doing? He's looking back to Jeroboam and doing what Jeroboam did. The precedent that Jeroboam set was the precedent that was followed throughout the nation of Israel. The life of Jeroboam affected every king from Israel. He was an evil influencer. Jeroboam's an influencer of the worst kind. He influences a multitude to do evil. His influence expanded to the entire nation. And you know, that is one power that leaders have in this world that's not gone away. The leaders of our government influence our world. They can put out statements like they did last Sunday. Things like the National Transgender Day of Visibility. And we may think to us that that doesn't mean anything. That's no big deal. And to us, it doesn't influence us. It's not going to change our minds. But it's going to affect the thoughts of many people. We need to understand how leaders still influence people. Evil influencers still impact our lives today. We need to understand the amount of influence that they can have. That's why casting votes matters. Words matter. Because they influence others. We need to pay attention to that. But we also need to understand the amount of influence that we can have on others. Remember on Wednesday night when we did our study about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit restrains this world from sin? How does the Holy Spirit restrain from sin? He restrains from sin because of what's in the hearts of His people. He uses us to influence this world for good, and the Holy Spirit uses us to keep the world from sin. We must understand the impact, the influence that we have in this world, and we need to use our influence for good and not be an evil influencer like Jeroboam. We need to influence our world for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day and we thank You for the time we have to be together. And I pray, Lord, that we will learn from Jeroboam and not be an evil influencer, but an influencer for good. Thank You for Jesus, who was the perfect influencer. May we follow Him with our whole heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.